Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. On September 4th, at a town committee meeting, Coburg Mayor Lucas Cleveland floated the idea of separating from the county. Warden Brian Ostrander came on this show 2 weeks ago to respond to his idea. A lot has happened since then. On today's show, Cleveland will elaborate. He will talk about his original motivation to propose a separation. He will also share his new vision for a restructured Northumberland County. He will answer his critics. Plus, he will explain how he feels sitting in the chambers at County Council from when he was elected until today. I am delighted to welcome back Coburg Mayor Lucas Cleveland. Welcome back to Consider This Northumberland.
I appreciate it, Robert. Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
Let's go back a bit. At a meeting held on September 4th, 2024, for the Community Services, Protection and Economic Development Standing Committee, there was a debate about the council's response to the encampment and sheltered people. You described the town's approach as only dealing with the symptoms and not the sickness. What did you mean by that?
Great way to start an interview, Robert. I think it's in response, that those comments were directly in response to Mr. Bison's delegation, as you're aware. And to be honest, his delegation regarding taxation without representation really resonated. Over the last 2 years, as my sort of first step into the political foray, I've been working really hard to raise the concerns of Coburg residents at the county. And time and time again at the county, my concerns have just completely gone unaddressed. You see, community engagement, community engagement, Robert, is something that here in Coburg we take exceptionally seriously. My open door policy has been instrumental. And the reason, sir, is I always wanted to make the office of the mayor more accessible and transparent. And I'm really proud, actually, of my Coburg councillors, because they continue to connect with Coburg residents, and they really work at bringing those concerns to the council floor, where you can discuss, make decisions, and you can see the effects at the Coburg council level of hearing the residents and then making changes regarding those residents. Well, you see, Mr. Bison said something very, very specific in his delegation, and that's that we are paying a third of our taxes to the county and yet have almost no ability to influence the impact of the county's decisions on our community. I mean, what Mr. Bison is suggesting is that Coburg needs more voices. We need to actually have people at the county be accountable to the residents whose decisions they are affecting. So,
well,
when you.
On that note, though, you at the county have a weighted vote. You have, I believe it's the equivalency of 6 votes. Is that correct? Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're correct.
So doesn't that give you the leverage that you're looking for?
No, 100%. Not again, Robert. Perhaps now you've just given away my secret as to why I'm growing Coburg so fast, because the faster our population grows, the more weighted votes we have and the more we'll be able to influence county. There is a nuance to the growth projections of Coburg, because the larger population, the more weighted votes. And so, you know, if cessation isn't an option, well, then we'll just grow our population enough so that we have a majority. But no, with my weighted votes, sir, I still need 2 other members at the county council to side with me to get a majority. And so, I mean, you asked, why is it at the county, I'm the voice of Coburg, am I not able to move the conversation or adequately represent Coburg interests? And the reality is, sir, for the last 2 years, I have not faced such a toxic place, maybe outside my grade 3 teacher, Miss Martin. Two counselors at the county act like, well, in my opinion, I want to say act like. I'm not saying they are. In my opinion, there are two counselors at the county who literally act like schoolyard bullies on the council floor. Mr. Washburn, I've been told to shut up on multiple occasions. I've been called arrogant and ignorant. I've been told most recently that I'm not the head zookeeper at the zoo. And I mean, let's not even get into the interesting metaphor that this counselor used describing like encampment residents of. But like at the last county meeting, the mayor of Brighton literally told me, you better watch your tone. Like, okay, I'm not really sure what you're going to do if I don't. You see, Mr. Washman, before you ask a question, I think we have to talk about, you're like, well, why can't you adequately represent Coburg? Well, let's look at the mayors of Cramie and Brighton. I think they're confused, sir. I think they think they're my boss. And their opinions of me doesn't actually matter, yet they think they should.
Before we get too far into that, because I want to come back to that, but I'd like to stay with for a moment with what you said at the standing committee, because I think that's really important, because that was the genesis of all of this. And at the same meeting, you suggested separating from the county is an option.
Yes.
So, and you said, I'm going to quote you here, what you said: if we want to actually fix, or at least put us on a path to fixing 90% of the issues we face in this community, 90% of the issues that our residents are upset with, that we get thousands of emails about, what we need to do is either adjust our relationship within the County of Northumberland organizations so we have better opportunities to make decisions for our own town, or we need to look at separating from the county. And these are actually the two options we have. Now, the first option speaks to reworking the relationship, but separation is different. How did you come up with that as an option at that meeting?
So here's the thing. I think you're making an assumption that I'd come up with that idea at the meeting, Robert. I think we have to take it even back further to where this cessation movement started. When did I start receiving emails en masse from the Coburg residents about their distaste and disgust at the county's decisions? See, I'm going to actually refer to a podcast you put out, sir. The mayor of Brighton on your podcast recently said that, quote, he doesn't like references to the Boston Tea Party. The reality is, Mitt Robert, is it was through his indirect actions in sending out a statement written by, I'm sure, county communication staff, literally chastising the citizens of Coburg for not being kind enough to the encampment residents. The absolute arrogance, hubris, the lack of a shred of understanding of or sympathy of what the law-abiding, tax-paying citizens have gone through for 2 years was literally the moment when all of this cessation talk started. You see, people in Coburg do not care what the mayor of Brighton thinks about them. I ask you, Robert, you're from Coburg. Is there any more generous of a community than Coburg in Northumberland? I doubt it. And I stake my reputation on it.
But hold on. You are making reference to an interview that was done about a week or so ago, and this meeting happened several weeks before that. How did we go? Could you just
For
kind
sure,
of.
because you just asked where my idea came from. And what you're doing is you're insisting that, or you're suggesting that the idea was formulated at that standing committee. Robert, if we've learned nothing about one another in 2 years, I would assume that at this point you would understand that oftentimes I suggest ideas as a way of starting a conversation and bringing the community into what's already going on. So, I mean, Robert, if you want to talk about it, my vision's simple. Let's just put it in a real simple, and then we can go from there. My vision is not, I mean, you and Mr. Ostrander went into all kinds of depths about nonsense and about this potential, this and oh, this. No. My vision is simple. Brighton goes with its natural neighbor and ally, Quinte West. Trent Hills goes with Peterborough County. We remain with one, but albeit smaller, County of Northumberland, single township. We would not be creating any new structures. Quinte West and Peterborough County already exist. And by bringing the five lower tiers to a single municipality, that's 60,000 residents. It's almost a perfect 50-50 split rural urban, we would have a potential. Again, that's the idea here, sir. You see, sir, what I want to be very clear. I realized early on in my term that the goal actually at the county is to try and wait me out until they can get a docile, complacent mayor of Coburg in office after the next election. So someone that can rubber stamp the senior staff's predetermined decisions, which I'm never going to do. But, sir, no organization, especially not government organizations, especially not taxpayer-funded organization, should ever act or be seen as a sacred cow, and then act like if it's profane to question anything that they do or have ever done. Like, sir, senior county staff should not be considered sacred cow by anyone. And when we are talking here, sir, I am talking about opportunities because we have eight governments overseeing 88,000 people, sir.
Well, it's interesting how you've evolved your thinking because when you were talking about what you said at the committee meeting, you said you were putting it out there for discussion. And now you have, from that moment over the subsequent weeks, come up with this vision. Now, there are other municipalities across Ontario, Gananoque, Prescott, Smith Falls, St. Mary's, the township of Pelé, who have separated. But how viable is this as an option?
I mean, Mr. Washburn, sorry, Robert, we are nothing but a creature of the province. What I'm talking about would require nothing more than provincial decree. So, I mean,
Well,
it's laughable.
a little bit more than that. You'd have to get the provincial government to approve it. The county would need to agree.
Why
Coburg
would the county need
residents
to
would
agree,
need to
sir?
agree because that's the process.
Actually,
Yes, there has to
okay.
be a vote. There has to be, the plebiscite for Coburg residents to, and then after all that, you're right. The province would have to agree. But then remember, Premier Ford said that he was looking at creating larger municipal units. And not smaller.
Which we just did, sir. I wanted to do the math here. Remember,
Okay, help me out.
for sure. So Quinte West and Brighton are a single government. Now, it makes sense. They share services, they're beside each other. And Quinte West is an example of someone who's already done exactly the thing I mentioned. They say they removed themselves from Hastings County. So this talk that it's difficult, we've got a neighbor right beside Brighton who's already done it. I mean, but
Okay.
we're not creating new governments. We're doing exactly what the Ford government has suggested. Brighton is no longer, Brighton and Quinte West make sense. Trent Hills makes sense as being part of Peterborough County, and five municipalities would become one. That's a wonderful math. And when you said, Mr. Robert, well, where did it come from? Sir, I'm a trigonometric function specialist. So when an idea comes, then you go do the math. And the math on this is incredible.
All
And
right,
that's the
so let's
part.
talk about the math. That's a good point. The impact on taxes. We're talking about now we're going to have to pay for all this waste collection, the recycling, the
Again,
amnesty, county roads, all
Robert,
that
that's
stuff.
not true.
Okay,
It's already being
how is it?
paid for by the County of Northumberland, and all I've done is cut us all into single tier, sir. I mean, there are people whose profession is to get into the depth of this. And sir, that's not you or I. I want to be very clear. But the math here, everything that was said by the mayor of Brighton, that's because he thought Coburg was going to just disappear. No, what we're talking about is Brighton moving on, Trent Hills moving on, and the five of us coming together under 160,000 resident, I think it's 1,200 square kilometers. Like, if anything, it makes sense. This is the fact that you've got a gentleman who's only got 2 years' experience and 6 years in the community suggesting that, the reality is there are minds whose job it is to look at this. And if we start looking at the math, we already have ambulance services. We already have all of the services at the county. I've just gotten rid, again, of five governments into one, and two have joined others that already exist. So again, we don't need to get into minutiae details. I want to be very clear. But when you start talking about this is how change actually happens.
Fair enough. But when you do make these suggestions and you want to put it out there for the purpose of debate, which is what you said to me, I think it's fair to say, people might be sitting in their homes listening to this going, well, wait a minute, how's this going to impact my taxes? So I don't think it's out of the blue to
Well,
start talking about it, at
no,
least
I
at
don't.
some level, and to try and have some answers that, will assuage people's concerns, because obviously that's a really, really big one.
I would say, Robert, is that what's going to happen is you're actually going to get an incredible spread. So let's look at the math. 62,000 residents, all of a sudden we have a 50-50 split perfectly between rural and urban. We have a city center in terms of Port Hope and Cobourg. Now we can look at potentially joining those through a development with the two of those, opening up development between there. Why are we expanding Port Hope towards Toronto? Why aren't we expanding it? Like, Mr. Washburn, Robert, why is it that the County of Northumberland is drawing up a new plan and not a single representation of Cobourg or Port Hope are on that committee? You see, the reality is Cobourg and Port Hope at this time are the center and economic powerhouse of Northumberland County. So why aren't we working to unite those two to work together? Well, there's a lot of reasons why the smaller municipalities within Northumberland County would not want that to happen.
And you have to remember too, the last time we talked about amalgamation, it took a lot of provincial pressure to finally get it to happen because many of the rural municipalities fought back hard.
I want to talk about that because if we look at what's happening in Port Hope and Hope Township, and you can see the frustration with some of the the Hope Township residents and what's happened in their execution. What we're talking about are the five coming together is actually an incredible opportunity to create a division of taxes. So you're going to have your urban center of Port Hope to Cobourg, and then you have your rural boundary on the outside. Now we have two levels. We have our urban tax base and our rural tax base. So we have a full-time fire department, a part-time fire department, social service delivery, less. Like, we are going to avoid the very issue that Port Hope has had of a 10,000 rural and a 5,000 or 4,000 urban. We're going to have a 50-50 split. So we are also going, again, I don't want to stay into the minutiae details because I think what we need to do is bring it up a level. And I want to talk more about even the attitude about the suggestion of this. Like on your last interview with the Mr. Ostrander, the mayor of Brighton, I found it laughable. Like he's explaining how we're similar to the French style system of government and with the pomposity and the arrogance with which he was speaking, I was reminded of why the French had a revolution, sir. They keep judging and saying that they understand what Cobourg's going through, but it's very easy to act very magnanimous and progressive when you're 43 kilometers away from the epicenter of ground zero.
All
And
right.
that's the issue here, sir.
Let's talk about, because that's really where all of the genesis of all this talk has come. And in terms of the viability of what you're proposing now, I mean, that's a long path before we're going to see that happen. There's a lot of territory to cover, I'm sure.
Okay, we'll just say we shall see.
Before we move on, though, there was a delegation at the meeting. At the standing committee meeting, and you've mentioned him, James Bisson. He's a local resident here. He said there needs to be an action plan to deal with the encampment. Now, he argued that the potential sale of the Brookside property is imminent, and a plan needs to be in place to address the concerns about relocation of the encampment residents. Now, even if nothing happens regarding the potential sale, he said the situation has gone on too long. Now, you mentioned in the meeting, you were scheduled to meet with him. I want to start with, did you meet with him?
Yes, I meet with all manners of residents through the open door policy, and I actually had a scheduled meeting with that with Mr. Bisson. Yes.
So what were your takeaways from that presentation and that meeting?
Oh, Mr. Bisson, I believe he's a motivated individual in this community who is sick and tired of what he sees as a slow unloading of other communities' problems onto Coburg. He is frustrated with the lack of ability for me within the current situation at county to have Coburg's concerns actually recognized. I mean, Ms. Robert, it's not hard. Watch a few council meetings. Watch how it's the mayor of Coburg and everyone else. There is no, I mean, at the last county meeting, I spoke very clearly. Councillor Martins asked, "Well, you're the one who put this study forward. Why are you the one who put the policing study forward? Now you're the one criticizing." And I explained it very clearly. When I first came to county council, I came with open eyes, a trusting vulnerable presence and a belief that everyone around that table was going to do the right thing for our residents.
All right. So, but in terms of the takeaways, is the town going to follow through with any of what he has suggested?
Oh, that'll be for tonight. So just because we are pre-recording this interview, I want to state that I can't speak to that because this will air after the council meeting. So we'll know what's going to happen tonight at that council meeting, sir.
Okay, so you're going to be bringing forward some initiatives at the council meeting on Wednesday evening.
Well, I didn't say that. I said we're going to hear from Mr. Beeson, and then the council will decide what they choose to do. To be honest, I would actually suggest, and I can't predict the future. I think after the connection with Mr. Beeson in the office, after some clear communication about what's maybe happening in the bigger context, in the bigger picture, that I was able to provide some understanding. And Mr. Beeson's going to be working and supporting Coburg Council because I think he's come to the realization that as a team, this council is fending off multiple attacks from multiple fronts, and that this council is united for the first time in a long time to advocate for the residents' safety in our community.
You said from different fronts. Now, I'm aware of that the county is obviously a target in this conversation, but who are the other aspects of this that you feel have put you under siege?
It's an interesting term. I not one I used. Just want to clarify that. Sorry, my camera just here moved. Well, we saw the policing study. We saw, you know what? I want to just take a step back from that because the reality is here, Robert, I'm not here to discuss all of the other issues of the services that are currently dealing with it. The reality is what I am attempting to do needed to be done many, many years ago. And what I mean by that is when you make up 25% of the tax base of an institution, and you're only getting one vote of seven, I'm confused and concerned as to why the mayor of a township with less than 3,000 residents is able to call the mayor of the with 21,000 residents to shut up, and that no one else around that circle says anything about it. So while you want to know what services are, I'm not going to weld into that. I'm going to keep this focus on what I'm facing as the mayor, because as a leader, you don't expect the people who you're leading to step in front. So I'm going to just stop and sort of step in front of that and say, I'm going to stop that where it stands and say, if you want to know the other services in the town that have been facing difficulties, I welcome them to step forward. However, I doubt they will, sir, because the reality is Coburg is 1/10 the size, 1/10 the budget, and we are doing everything we can as a lower tier government to stand up for the people of Coburg and to hold those who are creating problems within our community to account.
You said there that Coburg was 1/10 of the what budget now are we talking about? The county, it's 24%, right?
Yeah, 24%. What I'm saying is when you look at the budgets of the corporation, so if the town of Coburg is 30 million, the budget of county is 280, 300 employees, 1,000 employees. So when you're looking at political influence, when you're looking at power structure, when you're looking at penetration into the community, into the nonprofits, we're not even on the same level. Okay. And I think that's what you're seeing here is that this community, this organization, this council, and this staff team are standing up and said enough's enough.
So let's now talk about that meeting that you've referenced a couple of times, and I've sort of put the brakes on so that we could get that background in place. At the last county council session on September 18th, you sought some answers to some key questions regarding the encampment. What was your intention when you started that conversation at that meeting?
I want to just correct maybe a pin on that, Robert. I wasn't criticizing the response to the encampment.
I was asking about what the plan is. No, well, hold on. You're misrepresenting the question. I said you sought some answers to key questions regarding the encampment. That's what I asked you.
But I want to be clear, I didn't, the questions I was asking of staff were about the plan for when the property is sold. I'm not here to tell staff how to deliver social services. That's okay. That's not my job. That's not my role, Mr. Robert. My job is.
Let's be clear then. Was it that you were looking for when you started that conversation?
What's
was it
the
you were
plan?
Looking for? What's
I
the
want
plan?
To know, what's the plan here? We know the individuals currently camped out in the encampment do not want to receive care. We know that. So this panacea of a solution that, oh, all of a sudden 310 is going to magically open, everyone's going to nice and neatly march down to 310 and behave themselves and accept service, is a fallacy. And when I keep saying, okay, that's great, 310's better. I mean, okay, that I'm not arguing that 310 is going to do better. What's the plan for the individuals who will refuse service at 310? And I keep getting told by the county, well, there is no plan. So then the plan is to allow them to continue to disrupt the safety, security, and livelihoods of those people in Coburg. So we've heard clearly from the county, their plan is to do exactly what they've done all along. And the residents of Coburg do not want to stand for the status quo.
So let's go back to that meeting because, and I know this is a bit of a process thing, but you brought an addition to the agenda to have this discussed. Now, there was a vote on this to add it to the agenda. Now, you raised some concerns about that vote. Can you explain why you raised those concerns?
Well, here we are. You, in this interview today, Robert, suggested that I have a weighted vote. So why am I not using that weighted vote responsibly? Well, there's a clear example where we're arguing about a procedural issue, allowing me to use the operations and the procedures to best represent the constituents who put me there. And yet, once again, everyone says, well, you have a weighted vote. Oh, except when it comes to motions of policy or procedure. Weird. So this is the situation I face at the county.
All right.
Is that there is a situation where the rules apply when you agree with the county. But when the rules, when you don't agree with the county, well, now we're going to look at the rules. And this is what my personal experience is. That's not making defamation suits against any staff. I'm not saying people are intent. I want to be very clear. I cannot afford any more legal challenges or integrity complaints against me from the county. I cannot deal with that. So I have to be very careful what I say, Mr. Robert.
Are you suggesting that there have been legal action taken against you by the county?
Well, I mean, Mr. Washburn, Robert, you just recently saw just one of several that I'm sure were just released at the council meeting on Wednesday, the most recent integrity investigation, 100% cleared again. So Robert,
okay.
What we're seeing is I can't deny nor confirm what may or may not be happening, but I sure as heck can tell you that what this community is going to see is that I have been intentionally targeted, as I said, because I believe it's the county's desire to ensure that the next mayor of Coburg is ready to drink the Kool-Aid.
The county CAO admitted the need for better coordination of mental health services to meet local needs when you were talking about the encampment. She mentioned a number of identifying services and made sure they connect with to make sure they connect with people. What was your reaction to the information that was provided to you by staff at that meeting?
In terms of the reach out at the encampment?
Yeah.
Again, Mr. Washburn, I want to talk about two different realities. We've got the reality of that report at council, providing absolutely no statistics, numbers, or specifics. And then we also have the interview with the mayor of Brighton with you, who was unable to, again, provide any statistics or anomalies. And we heard the answer, well, it's hard to keep track of a transient population. No, it's not. Our police do it. Our fire does it. Our bylaw does it. And I do it. I'm down at the encampment every other day making to see what's down there. So it's not that it's hard. It's just a lot of work and really expensive. And I think that Coburg's tired of paying for it all.
Staff argued that this is a fluid situation. We just alluded to that, and that they're responding to needs and they're collaborating. But they do say that having a plan is at the top of their minds. And they say that conversations are taking place and that the county will support individuals in the campment. Why is that not good enough?
I'm not saying it's not good enough, Robert. I'm saying that we need to do better always. And so while I can appreciate the sentiment, while I can appreciate, again, the staff at the county doing the best job they can, I want to be very clear at this. My criticism, Robert, is not with the staff. My criticism is with the leadership, my fellow counselors, the ones who have continually not funded social services within urban centers appropriately. And as a counter juxtaposition, I want to acknowledge incredible work of the county. Look at our paramedicine. Look at our incredible paramedicine programs to our rural neighbors. The county is incredible at particular services. I'm not saying the county is this horrific, or of course not. The county is incredible. They do all great work. They do incredible opportunities. Two things can be equally true at the same time. And when we look at the county, they are providing incredible services in some areas. And unfortunately, I believe that that's at the expense of services that are necessary in Coburg.
You were asked to provide an alternative solution at that meeting to the situation, to council and staff. What was it at that meeting you described? What did you suggest?
Well, I think you know exactly what I suggest. I mean, Robert, there is no foolproof solution. No one's saying there is. But we need to have a plan that goes beyond a low barrier shelter in Coburg. What I said is we need to spread the county's web of social service delivery beyond just Coburg. You see, when you share the burden, or as a lot of people like to say, when you walk a mile in their shoes, perhaps my fellow counselors will stop speaking to me and all of Coburg residents with such arrogance and with such little understanding.
The warden argued you can't institutionalize people. Trent Hills Mayor Bob Crate responded to you as well. What was your reaction at that time to their answers to you?
Oh, it's the same as what I've experienced for 2 years, and I started to allude this at the beginning of this interview, Robert. I mean, it's really easy for all these mayors to act magnanimous, to act progressive, when none of this is actually in their community affecting their voter base. But as I explained, like, the reality is my fellow counselors, especially two, have been treating me like schoolyard bullies. And I'm not sitting here complaining, but what my response is they don't seem to understand that in less than a year, by all polls, by all indications of anyone who's paying attention politically, we're looking at a 4-year majority conservative federal government. I'm not saying I'm for or against this. I'm saying this is a reality that we're looking at. So we already know that this government is probably going to be taking an extremely dim view of illegal drugs, illegal drug use, encampments, and the like. So why aren't we proactively getting ahead of this so that we are addressing them in a more compassionate, well-rounded way?
But that sounds a bit speculative because we don't know.
Stop.
So I think that's a good idea, Robert. But here, at the meeting, you asked for money put towards Coburg to help pay for what's going on.
Well, actually, I want to be clear, it wasn't me. Coburg Council united and sent a delegation to county, and then Coburg Council ran a delegation to AMO to petition the province on the same thing. So I, again, agree with my council. The reality is county already does pay for police services. So, I mean, the mayor of Brighton was actually incorrect when he says we don't pay for any policing in Coburg. They do. They pay us $300,000 a year to contribute towards our court services because we've already accepted that it's not fair that the Coburg police and the Coburg tax base have to pay for court services that serve the county. So we already have an example of the county helping us out.
So you want more help?
Of course I do. We've been asking for it for 2 years. But the problem is, and where the cessation talk started, is because it's been falling on deaf ears. Now, I want to go back. You said, Mr. Crate, and Mr. Crate refers to locking them all up and throwing away the key. Well, no. Let's look at what the NDP government in BC has just stated. You see, this is going to air after Wednesday when I'm going to be putting my notice of motion forward, because I believe it's time to learn the lessons that the progressives in BC have already learned. When we have an NDP party announcing institutionalized care is necessary, I just want to hold that out there. Of course it is. And I've been saying this for 2 years. And I think all of us have understood that it's necessary. This fallacy that we're always going to meet people where they're at. We know we can't meet people where they're at when they're children. So we oftentimes have to infringe on the rights of those children to ensure they're protected. Similarly, when we have senior citizens who enter into dementia, we understand that we have to remove some of their rights in order to make the best decision for them. And I'm not sitting here decrying a return to institutionalized care of the 1960s or 70s. And I guarantee that's not what the NDP government of BC are suggesting either. But when the NDP government of BC, the government who 15 years ago did all of the things Northumberland County is suggesting we do now, has learned their lesson and is moving in a different direction, why do we have to spend the next 15 years turning Cobourg into Westside Vancouver?
I'm going to go back to the meeting at County Council for just a moment. The debate became very personalized at one point, and you suggested, as you have even in this interview, that other members of County Council do not understand Cobourg's situation. And you said the county is not serving the people of Cobourg. The warden reacted to you. What did you hear him say?
I believe, and I guess I can't quote, it was very intense, but I think it was something along the way, you better watch your tone. And I think what he meant to say is, you better not tell me what I know. And again, emotions were high. This is not a personal thing between me and the mayor of Brighton. This is a job we're both doing. And so I want to be very clear. I have no personal issues with the mayor of Brighton. However, I believe he told me to watch my tone, and I find it laughable because what are you going to do if I don't? You see, Mr. Washburn, Robert, they're confused. They're not my boss. And just because they've been in politics longer doesn't mean their opinions matter more than those who are new to the game.
But you responded to what the warden said and saying that he was more concerned about costs than doing the right thing.
Of course he is. Look at how he criticized our policing on your show as too costly.
But he also, you said to him, you don't know what you're talking about.
No, I don't.
Why did you go there?
Well, because it's a fact. Neither the mayor of Brighton or the mayor of Cramie have ever faced what we have in Cobourg with the encampment, illegal drug use for almost 2 years, period. It's laughable, the inference that they know what we're going through.
All right. So on that then, as you've talked to me today, and as you talked at that meeting, some people might look at that and saying you're being confrontational and that what you're doing is you're throwing away any political capital that you have to work out a solution.
Okay, well,
and
that's
I guess
one
I'm
way.
I'm asking you now, are you doing that?
No, I'm a pragmatic person, Robert. I am someone who always comes vulnerable, authentic, and integral. That's just who I am, whether I'm talking to you before the interview, during the interview, on the council floor, or in the community. They'll realize there's no two Lucases. It's just Lucas. Both the good and the bad come all the time. So when you asked, well, you're being difficult, we'll say is the word. For 2 years, I have been trying pragmatically and to the best of my ability to be the kindest, most cooperative person. And I believe that has been misconstrued as uninformed and lucky. I believe they may not realize that 10 years in the oil and gas sector as a center Ontarian educated schoolie, as they used to call me, working with individuals who had served 20 years for murder and other horrendous crimes, that there was a political nuance developed in an environment like that that is actually quite useful in politics. Where surviving is not a life and death situation, but a integrity situation. So, Mr. Washburn and Robert, I mean, I've tried for 2 years. I have 2 years left in this term. At some point, I have to accept that trying to get along isn't working. And at some point, I had to expect that my job is to represent the people of Coburg at that level. And I've told people, can go on to my website. I've made three promises. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to be accountable and transparent to those mistakes. And I'm going to build teams. I tried to build teams on the county. It didn't work. I made the mistake of thinking we would be able to get together and make changes. I made that mistake. So now I've admitted those were mistakes I made because of my naivete. But I'm a fast learner. And so now my job is to be pragmatic, unemotional, and do my job to the best of my ability. I'm not trying, sir, to be difficult. And I'm not the one calling people names. I'm not the one threatening. I'm not the one referring to encampment residents as zoo animals or that they should be locked up. What I'm doing is asking the questions that no one else wants to ask. And then I'm being shamed for even asking them.
These comments that you keep referring back to that people have made to you, were these made in the public sessions of council or were they made in closed session?
Both. There are a lot on record. I mean, we can go back if you want. I know there's several members of the Coburg, but yes, a lot are in open session and you can chase. Just this last meeting, you can see it. I mean,
All right.
but
So go ahead. I wanted to jump in on that then.
no, by all means.
After this debate, how do you see a way forward in resolving things? Because I wonder to some extent, and maybe there are others out there that would feel the same, that you may have damaged your ability to work effectively on the behalf of Coburg residents.
That would be one opinion, not one I share.
All right. So
As I said,
how do you go forward then? Because I mean, you're making all these strong statements. You say you're standing up for Coburg, but you also understand that your political capital may be spent. So,
listen, Robert, I'm going to tell you, and I'll sum it up really quickly.
okay.
Bullies think that they can take you down by telling you to shut up, and they think that you'll cower and go away. Bullies think that they can threaten you and use alternative means to make you back down. Now, I know from years of being this person and dealing with bullies that the only way to deal with a bully is to stand up to them. Now, just because these particular mayors don't like me or don't like what I'm saying, they're never going to stop me raising actual factual concerns. You see, they will not silence me. And you're asking, well, how are we going to get along? How are we going to work together? Look at council at Coburg. That's how you get along. You have open, transparent, non-personal conversations on a floor. You disagree, and then you put it behind you. And you do that by ensuring council is in charge of council.
It struck me a little bit strange. Earlier this summer at a Coburg Council meeting, you made a case to your fellow councillors to trust the county. What has changed?
Robert, talk about mathematician. We talk about my history of working in oil and gas. We talk about a lot of sort of my background. What it comes down to is I've been very successful in life because of pattern recognition. That's reality of good business people, good engineers. They tend to see good pattern recognition and they then are able to see what's going well. Robert, I always approach things with a positive outlook. I always approach things giving people the benefit of the doubt. I don't think people need to earn your respect. I believe you offer your respect and it's theirs to lose. So I approach life with a open mindset. And so I always assume people have good intention. I assume they want the best. And I assume that if you got into this unforgiving environment of politics, that you've done so with the intention of improving the quality of life for those around you. And so I will always start from that position because I don't want to be the kind of person who walks through life negatively or fearful of change. But in order to do that, sir, you have to learn quickly. And so what I've learned quickly is that we need to protect the town of Coburg, and we need to unite around a better relationship with our upper tier. And I want to be very clear, Robert, because I don't think we've mentioned this. I am 100% opposed to vigilantism. However, my concern here is that the current situation could foster an incredibly dangerous situation. I was literally on the phone with the mayor of Kingston when the police came in to tell him what had just happened. The reality is, sir, is we need to start learning our lessons. Mayor Patterson, when it came to the tiny homes to Coburg, that's where I went to see. That's where it indicated my voice, because he had the unfortunate lesson of learning what happens in tiny homes. Mayor Patterson has been advocating for the closure of a safe consumption site across from the encampment for how many months? And here we are, people dead. So again, I'm saying, Robert, we have to learn from those communities around us that have already tried the things that we are proposing to try. And we need to start having very vulnerable and accountable and open conversations, because until we're able to admit we're failing, we will never be able to find a solution to those failures.
During our conversation today, you have made some strong statements on the intentions, the treatment, and other aspects of your fellow counselors. Do you wish to take away from the reputation of any of these individuals or publicly demean these people in any way as part of this conversation?
No, of course not, Robert. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to ask this question, because I mean, it's frustrating. Last council meeting, I want everyone to actually review the video. Before I spoke to a single member of staff at that council meeting, I appreciate the staff, because it's not the staff's job to set policy and lead. That's our job. We're the elected officials. So every time, I want you to go back and look, I actually turn to the staff and the first things out of my mouth anytime are thanks and appreciation. However, anytime I went to criticize and point out and ask difficult questions, I physically turned my chair to look at my counsel, because my job is not to direct staff. My job is to work with my counsel to set policy, procedure, and direction. However, when the counsel that I'm supposed to work with keeps their fingers in the ears around the problems I've been advocating for 2 years, I'm a problem solver, Robert. And since I can't seem to get anywhere in this line of thought, I'm not going to keep trying. We're going to try a different route. So you asked earlier about what we're going to do to work together. I'm going to keep doing exactly what I've done. Show offers of support, be willing to meet, look for compromise, look for ways to share. Again, this isn't personal for me. This is a job. This is a job I was elected to do. And I take my responsibilities and my integrity exceptionally serious. So I will continue to fight for the people of Coburg without question until I am no longer able to. And I am always willing to meet with my county counterparts. I want nothing to besmirch any of their reputations. I don't believe that any of my counselors are bad people. They all got into this for the same reason I did, which is to help make their communities a better place. However, as I said before, when you are 44 kilometers away from ground zero, you do not understand, you cannot speak, and you should start listening to the people who are actually affected and understand that just because they're not your voter base doesn't mean it's not your responsibility to hear them out.
Lucas Cleveland, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
As always, Robert, pleasure.
That was Coburg Mayor Lucas Cleveland. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn.
Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.